Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Well, welcome to Explain the Prophetic. My name is Sean Bowles, and my weekly spiritual encouragement to you this week is all about the life of Joseph, specifically about when he went from the prison and outside of that into his calling that he never anticipated or could have dreamed of without God. Well, if this word is making sense for you this week, make sure to visit us at YouTube and hashtag using our hashtag MyTurn so we can pray for you. That helps us to not only pray for you, but you get to declare, this word is for me, and tag somebody who it might be for as well. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, hit notifications, or subscribe to our podcast. And as usual, this is made by our ministry, and we so love your support. Thank you so much for supporting us. For those of you who have already, or if you want to become a partner, go to bowlesministries.com and hit the give button where you can become one of our partners or just give a one-time gift. Well, let's talk about Joseph right now. And this word might just be one of the most important encouragements you hear all year because it's your time. This is really, for a lot of you who can relate to this, you're going to say, oh my gosh, I needed that word today. Well, out of the prison into what you're made for. That's the theme today. The Joseph story is totally unfolding before our eyes. We're seeing it with so many people in culture right now, as far as Christians who God's placed in very specific assignments. And if you open your eyes in society right now, you're seeing it. And have you ever related to that biblical character, Joseph, because of your sense of spiritual calling? I mean, I know many of you have. Maybe you had a word about it. Maybe you've read it and God showed you this is you. You know God's made you for something that's to help others and probably a career entrepreneurial based or even a governmental office. And God's pursued you when, like, the spiritual track with the Joseph story. And maybe some of you have some life parallels to the book or the stories of Joseph throughout the books of the Bible. Well, many of you have walked through the deepest valleys. Some of you walked through some betrayal, some hardships, some seasons where it seemed like the promises of God were buried beneath the weight of circumstances. But the Lord's really doing something right now. He's saying now is the time for divine promotion. And we're going to see a lot of people who paid a price get positioned because now is the time for those who've been in the dungeon delay or the disappointments or the obscurity to step into places of influence that's going to transform parts of culture and maybe even society. I am thinking of people like Mel Gibson right now, who was the least likely to make a movie about Jesus that would impact an entire generation. Some of you don't know that movie was seen by close to 700 million people. It also made close to $1 billion in the box office. And Mel put his personal money up to make this movie because he felt it was so important. And it left such a lasting impression on people who watched it, where I remember being in the theater and there was a Hindu and a Muslim couple that were in front of us. And I was there with a ministry friend. And afterwards, we all had cried through the movie together. And they turned around and they asked us, do you know who Jesus is? We were the white people. So they're like, do you know who Jesus is? And they told us their Hindu and their Muslim background. And we were able to share the gospel with them just because, in a movie theater, just because Mel was bold enough to make the movie. Well, we know right after that, his life went on to a brutal spin out. Some of it was because of the attacks he experienced in life. Some of it was because of the financial lawsuits, all kinds of things that happened, and also some of his own personal bad decisions. But one of the things that's happened over these many years since is that he's reemerging to make the resurrection of Christ. He's also had a comeback in his career and a comeback in his faith. And recently, even after losing his house to the California fires, he felt like it actually unanchored him from some things that really don't matter or aren't as important, that God was clearing the space for him to be undivided about making this movie, the resurrection film, which he thinks is going to be far surpass impact from the Passion of Christ film. So I think it's just, Mel Gibson's a great example of somebody who right now is coming out of that dungeon type season where it was so hard, but for a purpose. He's not just coming out and, no, yay, life's good. It's actually, there's still challenges in his life right now, but there's an emerging for the purpose that God made him for. And he has said it in interviews that the resurrection is more important than the Passion of Christ was. So we'll see what happens. But we also see figures like President Trump, who everyone thought was done or could never get the presidency again because of the way the media and the government had positioned lawfare or character assassination against him. And yet here he is, changing the foundation of the country. I know he had personal issues as well, but there's something about someone like a Trump who was unbelievably close to being shut down from being able to run again. He's been impeached. He was shot at, all these things. Yet here he is helping to run the country. And I think there's so many other modern examples of people who the world was done with and God wasn't. You know, the court of popular opinion was settled on, the courts of heaven aren't. The courts of heaven have a different story. And just as Joseph thought his dream was about leading his family, God had planned something far beyond what he could imagine. So God is refining you. He's preparing you for something greater than your best imagination. I love Ephesians 3:20 because it talks about how God will go beyond our imagination, what we can hope for, because the Father has an agenda for Jesus still to receive everything that he paid a price for on the cross as part of the end time scenario. There's something about Jesus getting the fullness of his reward, which has been a theme since the early church, that we are called to live a life on this side of eternity to give Jesus all that he deserves, all that he's worthy of, and that we're promised eternal, everlasting life that will be like a paradise, that will be the most amazing thing. But a lot of us don't live for that. So we're living maybe in seasons where it's about our calling and our destiny here on the earth, which I'm sure Joseph had some of that when he was in Potiphar's house, probably thought, this is as good as it's going to get. This is amazing. I was sold into slavery and I'm now in Potiphar's house. I'm the head. And then he gets betrayed there. And then he goes to prison. And then in the prison, he rises up to the topmost ranks of somebody who should be a civilian, not a prisoner. And you think Joseph's journey, like, it never was ultimately about him. It was about preserving a nation and providing solutions in a time of crisis. And it was, of course, the Father loved Joseph. So he wasn't just an expendable resource. He was someone that the Father was building a story and character in. And sometimes when we're going through those seasons where we identify with someone like Joseph, we don't think about the fact that our life is going to provide solutions. Our life is going to help in times of crisis. Our life is going to do something that's rare. And in that, again, we're not an expendable resource, but God is looking at us saying, will you surrender your agenda and pick up my agenda? It's going to look different than you thought. And I've said this many times, if you've listened to me, that if we want a God result in our life, we have to have a God process. That means that we can't look at our friends next to us and compare and go, well, it's so easy for them, or they had a normal life, or they made normal decisions. If you're a Christian and you believe you're going to have a different result in life because you're serving God and you're following his plan for your life, then you're going to have a different process. And I said over and over and over in many ways, if you want a deeper teaching on that, that's in our book, Wired to Hear, by myself and Bob Hassan, who leads Exploring the Marketplace podcast with me, which is one of our other podcasts. Well, maybe some of you even had a prophecy from God about being a Joseph. Maybe someone said you have a Joseph anointing is one of the big words, buzzwords in charismatic circles, or that you have a calling like Joseph. And I'm telling you, this might be the most important time in your personal history to understand what that could mean. So it's time to really pray and go deep into this. If this was ever a word, even in the 1970s, this was something you felt, it's time to pray into it. And this might be your sign. This video or this audio might be your sign that something's moving for you. So hashtag my term, because this is you're recognizing something right now. Maybe we're recognizing it together. But God is raising up Josephs, and they're men and women who've been tested and tried in fire. You've gone through the wilderness. You've gone through the fire. You may be at the end of that, those kinds of seasons. Those who've been humbled, those who've been purified, those who God's pulled out ego, God's pulled out personal desire for personal gain, pulled out the false prosperity gospel, pulled out the Messiah complex, pulled out all the things, you know. And now God can pull you into a place that's out of obscurity, that where you can stand before the leaders or the kings or decision makers and bring solutions that God's placed inside of you that will not only change your personal circumstances, but it's going to impact entire industries, governments, and even communities. I know it's hard to think that how can God take the least of these and do something so powerful, but read the New Testament, read the Old Testament. You're going to find out how God uses the least of these all the time. It's one of the ways that he patterned things, is to use people like you in seasons where you're not positioned the way the world spends its whole energy, time, resource to position itself for greatness. Sometimes we go a different route and it's not about natural greatness. And so we go for spiritual greatness, which means we're in a completely different track. But as God emerges us from that track into a place of usefulness to society, people are shocked. And one of the greatest things that happens is people say, how did you get here? And you have to tell them, like, I'm on a spiritual journey with God, that actually makes them believe you because of where you've ended up. And there's a season where Proverbs 3:5-6 will be your foundation. And we all know the scripture so well, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And some of you have never submitted so much. Some of you have never surrendered so much and said, I'll trust you with all, even what I can't see. And God takes notice of that. And God, heaven looks at that. And there's a qualification process that happens to be set apart and allow yourself to be set apart from the things you desire the most. And to say, God, I'll take them. I know you'll give them to me your way, even though I want to do them my way. And many of you have wrestled with some of the dreams that seem to be dead. You're like, man, these things, it's so on the back burner that it may have fallen off, you know, the oven. And Habakkuk 2:3 says, though the vision tarries, wait for it will surely come to pass. We serve the only God and the only religion that promises us that we won't die unfulfilled. And if we do somehow pass on in the next life, that everything that God put inside of us will still come to fullness before Jesus returns, maybe through future legacy, maybe through the passing of the baton, even spiritually in ways that we can't understand. But you will be fulfilled when Jesus returns. You will be fulfilled when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. You will not feel like your life is wasted. And the process might have just you walk through might be so refining your heart. I love Proverbs 17:3. It says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." So sometimes there's a testing, and some of you have been through that, and you're coming out the other side with some maybe differences in who you thought you were going to be and who you are, and who you get to be has not been totally determined yet as far as the role you might play. And some of you are feeling like a percolating, maybe old dreams or old projects or things that you thought were for a different season, or when you were in your most wow season of your entire life, where everything felt the best. You thought that's when I had energy then. I had time and space then in my life. I had the favor. I had the finances or the resources or whatever it was. Why didn't God do it then? Because God wanted to do it in such a way that you're set apart, that you can't claim that any of it was you. You can't claim that you were the author and the finisher of it. Only God was. And so sometimes you've been in a better season where it could have happened with the promises of God, the fulfillment of God. The Joseph season feels like it was more likely then. And so now maybe it feels very unlikely and you feel like you're too old or you're too past the point or past your prime or whatever else. But God is the God who does things even past the due date, the expiration date. He's a God who Sarah had a baby, you know, like Elizabeth had a baby when she couldn't, like these things of even the natural odds are against you sometimes. And then God shows up because that's part of the story that convinces humanity that God loves the world, is that he does something in your life where he sends you and you show up and you're the least likely, just like Jesus seemed like the least likely to the Israelites at the time, to where so many of them didn't even believe because he came in such a different form than they were expecting. And yet look at how much the world's been turned upside down. So many of you have been tested, and maybe now you're being entrusted. Maybe the testing was for a season so you could be entrusted, and the Lord's placing you in strategic positions. And maybe you haven't seen that yet, but you can feel it. You can feel like a shift. I know since 2020, many people have changed careers, geography, all kinds of transitions have happened. I gave a word about the pivot that happened. Many of you resonated with that, reached out to our ministry, told us how much you've been pivoting and how many things have changed, whether it be whole career plans or, again, like the church swaps or all kinds of things. And when that happens, when God's placing you in strategic positions, it's not because of your ambition anymore, but it's because of assignment, because you're willing to go where God's leading you. And your influence then doesn't come from striving or from anything natural, but it comes through divine alignment. You know, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream and brought wisdom to nations, and you're going to carry solutions that others are going to seek out. And there's people being positioned. I've talked to through exploring the marketplace and through just conversations with people. People have told us their stories of in agriculture and environmentalism and entrepreneurship and tech, where they're being given assignments that the world's coming to them and saying, "How are you doing that?" And also some people are giving resources through their assignments that's causing them to be set apart where the world's looking for them. And what I love about it is that many of the stories we get to hear are how God's strengthening marriages and families and then putting those on display in the midst of the assignment. So people who are in the brokenness of marriage, I mean, the statistics of divorce rates are so high right now in the world. And yet when people look at your marriage or when they look at your family and they go, "How are you doing what you're doing?" And you say, "God is the center of this," and you actually have the proof of it, because you're not a statistic. You don't match the statistics of the world, and your friendship circle doesn't match the statistics of the world. People are going to take that seriously because it's so contrasted to the brokenness that we're seeing in all sectors of society. I love that the Joseph anointing isn't just getting a dream or just getting strategy, but it's also saving whole nations and people groups. It's like God has this heart right now for nations and people groups. And while there's been a great dismantling of humanism and human effort to save things with its own strength, God's going to raise something up that's a remantling of humanity for actually bringing security in a lot of different things that haven't been looked at the right way for a long time. And I love the scripture, "For we are the handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, Ephesians 2:10 is that scripture. And when you think about this, you have to think of a loving God who, before time began, before he ever created you, he thought of you and he thought about what you could contribute through the very nature of himself he put inside of you to the whole scenario of the end time you know, mandate of God, where Jesus is going to return. We're going to be with him forever. So what is your role to play both here on this side of eternity and then also into eternity? Who do you get to love? Who do you get to reveal the love of God to? Who do you get to allow Jesus to be seen through you, through your talents, your skills, your gifts, your career, your family, your marriage? And so God dreamed of these things before and prepared you for these things before time began. And I think some of the people I know who were in ministry for years, I watched in 2021, 2022, God shifted them into careers. And one of them, he called me and said, "This is such a demotion. Our church is in financial failure. I still feel called to do ministry, but I can't be supported by the church anymore. And now the promises I feel like I have with God, it just feels like it's all dying." And he just felt like such a death because the opportunity changed and the way he was doing it changed. And in his mind, he was about to go to the next level, which is to be able to do exactly what he's called to do instead of just all the filler stuff that you have to do just to build a church. He felt like he was raising people up to do a lot of the filler stuff. He was going to do the great, you know, be the father and the father figure, and he was getting that age. And so he was highly disappointed. And I remember encouraging him first to go to therapy and counseling. But also, I just said, you know, like, what if there's something in your career that you never allowed yourself to do because you've been doing ministry for so many decades that you have like almost a contract to ministry that you can't break. And now it's broken because of just default circumstances. And now you can actually be free to succeed in some areas and to bring light in some areas that you wouldn't have done before. And he was very mad at me for saying it. He wasn't like, he didn't feel like, "That's a great sentiment, Sean. Thanks for being an optimist." He actually was like, "You were delusional. Like, I've paid a price for ministry. I had a dream and it's dead or it's dying." Well, after just a couple of years, we just had a talk, I guess it was the end of the year, so it was December, and he told me, "I can't believe the impact my own life has had through having a career, how much I've been able to understand how disconnected I was from business and from just the everyday life, the world, and how much I'm being able to be used by God in this space. And now I have this whole, like, I want to help coach business leaders. I want to help raise up people who can do masterminds and think through things and see real impact in our city. And I never even understood. There's such a disconnect between me and the reality of where our people were and their careers and their jobs and their impact." And he goes, this was a graduation, but I looked at it as a demotion because I just was so backwards in my goals and how I was pursuing God. And when he was saying that, I thought of this word when I was praying into this message today, and how many of us sometimes, you know, the prison is such a demotion in so many ways, but it's also a proving ground or a refiner's fire that allows us to go through a season to where our priorities change, our desires change, our margins change, the way we do life changes. And many of you have made all kinds of new agreements and contracts in your own spirit with God because of understanding things differently. What was important to you 10 years ago is no longer important to you. What you thought you would be doing 20 years ago is no longer even on your grid now. And so I love seeing his impact of his life because he's in the middle of a God calling that he would have never put himself in because he was so wrongly aligned to ministry. And some of you might be in the same boat where you were wrongly aligned to something. It was the right thing, but it was wrong alignment because of your own expectation. And sometimes the Joseph season that comes before he launches us to be a catalyst is he changes us and reforms us. And sometimes there's a dismantling or pulling apart of what we thought. So, and there's a rebuilding in what he thinks. And God uses these catalysts of seasons, of things that look like failure, you know, to re-identify all of those things to you so that you don't stay in the small thing, or you don't stay in the small mind. You don't stay in the small disconnect, you know, or whatever, but you're able to be used for the noble thing. And Paul talks about that to Timothy. I think that's what he's saying when he says, "Hey, in a large house, there's many things. There's some for common use and ignoble use, and there's some for noble use. Cleanse yourself of all the common and ignoble, and just do the noble thing." Well, the noble thing doesn't mean not cleaning toilets, and it doesn't mean not doing normal responsibilities, and it doesn't mean you're going to have servants and weird entitlements. The noble thing just means that you're going to do what God wants, not what you want. And you're going to do it, like, as you do what God wants, you're going to realize that that's what he has wired you for, to bring you the most alive. But just like my children, when I tell them, "Hey, we have to do some work every day, and we have to clean the house every weekend if we want to really enjoy dwelling here," and they don't want to do that part because they just want the dwelling, they want the fun, they want the aspect. After a while, and just like me with my parents, like, after a while, I was like, I enjoyed doing the work because it was part of what helped me to feel the connectedness to the enjoyment of the whole process of being in the house that they provided, of being in that place. And so after doing the work, you start to enjoy on a whole nother level the dwelling part. And many of us are, God's calling us to dwell. So he's taken us out of the place where he does everything for us. We're not a little child anymore. We don't just drink milk, but it's time to eat the meat. So in this, I'm going to tell you, be strong and courageous. You know, like Joshua 1:9 says, hiddenness is always coming first. And it just comes first. To everyone I know, they've went through a season of quietness, hiddenness, smallness, whatever. But then you're going to emerge, but you won't emerge in your own strength, but you're going to emerge in the power and the anointing of the love of God. And the world's groaning. You know, it says in the Bible, for the manifestations of God's sons and daughters, Romans 8:19. And that's not for a military force, and that's not for the biggest church movement to raise up. That's for people who know God and have the benefit of knowing what God thinks about and feels for humanity and know how to broker his heavenly agenda on the earth that actually transforms our opportunity on the earth. And I think that's time for Joseph's to arise is now. I think arise and shine, for your light has come, which has been a scripture we've lived out of the last 2 years. You know, the glory of the Lord rises upon you, Isaiah 60, verse 1. That's what God's saying to the Josephs. You know, the Joseph story is unfolding, and we're going to see it play out before our very own eyes with our friends and our relational network. Some of you who've been overlooked and you've been misunderstood, maybe you've been imprisoned by circumstances or relationships. It's time for the fullness of God-ordained destiny to come. And it doesn't mean that it's all going to come at once, but you're going to feel a shift. Some of you might be feeling it right now as we're talking. It's just a shift of like expectations, a shift of opportunity to see things differently, a shift to view your circumstances differently, a shift to where you feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And God's not just going to give you influence. He's making you an answer to the world's problems. Jesus is the answer. And he was the answer when he was on the earth. He wasn't just like an opportunity for the earth. He wasn't the answer for the earth. And you have the answer inside of you as well to much of what God wants to do in our generation. So get ready, because the promotion, it's not really ultimately for you. It's for Jesus and for the kingdom of Jesus to be revealed through you. So step forward, Joseph. Step forward. It's your time. And I think many of you can feel that. I just want to pray for you. And I want you to just think about maybe the season you're in and how you wouldn't have led yourself maybe into this exact season. Maybe this is a time where you're in a predicament because you've allowed God to lead you. And so he's led you so far that if he doesn't lead you all the way, then you're stuck. And maybe you felt a little stuck. Maybe you felt a little imprisoned. And I want you to just identify with the fact that you have a father who loves you, never author something he won't finish. So I want you to ask him to be with you in this season in a way that you can really recognize him. And Holy Spirit, we thank you even for this season. Even if there's been suffering, we know you'll use suffering, that we're hard pressed, but not crushed. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down sometimes, but we're not destroyed. And that this develops character and perseverance inside of us that creates a real dwelling of hope inside of us. And God, I pray that there would be something inside of us that would be grateful for your journey, because it's going to lead to your result, not our result. And your result isn't just for us, and it's not just for our families, but it's for people groups to be delivered and changed and shaped. And God, I thank you that for that opportunity. Not everybody has that opportunity or would take that opportunity, because not everybody has been in this position where they've said yes, and they're now dangling on the edge of your sovereignty to where if you don't come through, then they're stuck. And we are that in that place. We're in a place where it's like we can't lead ourselves forward into the result that you've put in our hearts to expect. So we need you to lead us. So would you speak to us again, God? Just like Joseph, you put him in divine circumstances that even those two men that were next to him in the prison where he interpreted their dream, and one of them went to the king, and even though there was a delay on it, he's like, I know somebody who can interpret the dream. And then that's when Joseph was brought forth. And because he had a friendship with you, God, he was able to acknowledge your mindset and your heart for the people of Egypt and for Israel ultimately. Thank you that nations were saved because of his relationship with you. And thank you for the people who are watching, that people groups will be saved because of their relationship with you. So Joseph, emerge. We just speak it over you. Joseph, rise up. Joseph, interpret the dream. Joseph, tell the world what the Father is thinking right now, what God is thinking right now. And many of you are being positioned to do just that. And you're being positioned governmentally. You're being positioned financially. You're being positioned socially. You're being positioned with celebrity. You're being positioned in all kinds of ways, in with city council or with school or with environment or with agriculture. And God wants you to know that the next season will be much longer than this season that took you to get here, and it will be sustaining and thrilling to your spirit, to your heart. So God, wash us of the hardship of the old, Lord, the weariness, all those things, and give us hope and faith that we're going to have fullness of energy to go into the season that you've called us to all along, that you promised us all along, that we won't get there and be so tired we won't thrive with you, but you're going to put us in a mode, in a frame where even our bodies will align with the promise. Even our mind, our emotions, our will align with the promise of walking with you on this side of eternity in a destiny you created before time even began. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for watching so much. Again, hashtag my turn. Leave your prayer request below. We love doing these with you every week. Make sure you subscribe, like I told you in the beginning, to Exploring the Prophetic, anywhere podcasts are served, and also to our YouTube channel. And we follow us on social media. Sean Bowles, everywhere social media is found. And we'll see you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to BowlesMinistries.com or SeanBowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.